Chapter 17. The only thing worse than being ripped out of the tunnel in a vortex of suck was smashing into the netting at the bottom. I hit so hard that the breath whooshed out of my body, and as I lay there, trying to suck in gasps of breath, I vaguely realized I had a problem, because what was coming toward me was very, very spider-like. And what I'd struck? Well, it wasn't ground at all. It was a massive spider's web. "Fuck," I murmured as I tried to scramble to my feet. But it was difficult because the goddamned web seemed to be made of slick, wet ice. So instead of sticking to it, I just slipped and fell on my ass. Worse, I could see the huge spider about 100 yards away as it crept toward me. Its body was all hard angles that glinted like rough-cut sapphires in the pale light of the luminescent blue moss clinging to the walls. As its beady, soulless blue pebble eyes fixed on me, I couldn't help but shiver at the sight of it. Even from here, the thing seemed truly massive, like in the way a horse is massive. And I wasn't quite sure how it managed to move along the web without cracking the crystalline structure. Which was pretty much when I had, well, the best idea ever. I whipped out my sling, took a pebble from my pocket, filled it with aura, and let it fly at the spider's feet. Sure, maybe it was a friendly spider, but judging by all the frozen bodies of ants lying around the web, I was willing to bet it considered me food and not a friend. As the rocks struck the ice at its feet, the huge spider reared back like a warhorse, revealing the blue Black Widow hourglass on its torso. The creature's front legs stabbed angrily through the air while its mandibles worked feverishly. Gobs of green goop sprayed from its maw and sizzled when it struck the ice around it. I didn't care, though, because I was already pulling out one of the soldier mandibles and letting it fly with all the power Oryx Smash could muster. I hadn't had long to charge it, but even still, a green glow enveloped the blade as it tumbled through the air, trailing sparks like a comet. It smacked into the soft underside of the spider's carapace, just below the joint where it met the head with a heavy thunk that threw the thing heavily onto its back. The creature's legs twitched as it tried to struggle, but the 10-inch mandible sunk in nearly 8 inches, which was more than enough to pierce the creature's heart. Or at least I hoped so, given my relatively rudimentary knowledge of spider anatomy. That said, I didn't take any chances. I quickly scampered toward the creature in a sort of bear crawl that let me use the parts of the ice web like a makeshift ladder that, thankfully, didn't wobble much. I was on the creature a second later, two mandibles in hand, and I plunged them into the underside of the creature's neck and quickly took its head off. Once it stopped moving, and I got the message letting me know I'd killed a creature, I raised my hand to use aura extraction. Again, the spell failed. And just like with the golem, the spider quickly dissolved into a pile of icy shards that left behind a chunk of blue crystal in the shape of an hourglass that seemed to pulse and throb with energy. Heart of Ice Spider. Interesting, I muttered as I stowed it in my inventory. And then, because I was naked and freezing on an ice web and didn't see any more spiders, I quickly set about getting myself dressed. It was strange how much better I felt once I was clothed again, even though I was on an ice web over what looked like an endless pit of darkness. Thankfully, I could see flickering light a few hundred yards overhead, and realized I was going to have to climb my happy ass up to it. The walls, while slick with ice, had a bunch of outcroppings on them that would make handholds, but but I decided the web might be a bit easier, since I didn't want to try to make crampons and ice picks out of ant mandibles. Something told me that might not end well, even though I'd done my fair share of mountaineering adventures both in and out of Terra Forma. I quickly did the bear crawl toward the wall where the edge of the web spiraled up the side like a giant frozen ladder. Then, since my hands were frozen, I took a moment to sit there and stare at them like a dumbass. Admittedly, it took me a lot longer than it should have to come up with the obvious answer, which was to pull off my shoes and put my socks on my hands. Then, I put my shoes back on and hauled my happy ass up the icy ladder. It was tough, because my hands were still frozen from the hard ice, and each movement threatened to make me slip and fall to my death. I had to go slow, which was both excruciatingly frustrating and excruciatingly painful, but somehow I managed to scale the 300-plus yards of frozen spiderweb. And yes, when I reached the top, I just pulled myself onto the snowy embankment and laid there, lungs heaving. It was strange. I had done tons of training on ladders and whatnot and was in pretty great shape overall, but even still, I was horribly out of breath. "You always think you've trained until you try to do something," I murmured. It was one of Mick's favorite sayings, and I'd often found it to be true. No matter what you did, it was never enough. And even when everything was going well, something could pop up that you'd never expected, which is why I always expect the unexpected. Still, after putting my socks back on my feet and getting up, I was a bit shocked when I made my way toward the wall of the cliff face, because while it hadn't been visible from my perch on the edge before, now I could clearly see the figure of a woman etched into the stone. Her figure was adorned with the same symbols I'd seen in the room with the golem, and her torso was covered with that same black widow's hourglass I'd seen on the spider. The thing was, the figure etched on the wall seemed familiar. I'd definitely seen it somewhere, in some scrap of lore, and as I searched my memory for the answer, my eyes widened in shock. "Queen Mob," I murmured as a shiver of fear passed through my body. The gatekeeper to the cold and dark, the lady of the dead and hungering. As the words left my lips in a frozen cloud, I could have sworn at the etching's dark, frosted eyes fixed on me. Another shiver racked my body. But this one was different because it sort of came from the core of my being and reverberated out of me, almost like my very soul was afraid to stand before her. While I'd never encountered the Dark Lady in the game, I'd heard the tales from a few fellow gamers, and they never seemed to end well because she was a frosty, cruel mistress. Hell, even the wikis had said little about her, and all the videos I'd ever watched never were quite clear on her fleeting desires, since she often just killed those who found her outright.
"What is it you seek, adventurer?"
The words rolled over me like the icy, freezing rain, like the cold, uncaring earth as it swallows you whole. No, that wasn't quite right. It was like the endless void of death.
"Is it death? Because that is a gift I am able to grant."
The etching's face twisted into a cruel, contemptuous smirk, and her eyes seemed to shine with a malevolence that caused the whole of the wall's face to glow with blue light.
"I have not come to seek death," I replied, because it was true, and, well, honesty was the best policy. Even still, I was terrified beyond measure.
wasn't quite sure what would happen if I died here. Would I respawn back outside the dungeon, on my world like in Terra Forma? Or would I go to the great beyond and Zaxxas would take everything?
Oh?
It was a curious titter, with more than a little amusement behind it.
Interesting.
That final word was marked by a crackle of ice as the etching's glow began to fade until only the symbol on her chest was glowing with soft blue light. As I stared at it, a thought occurred to me, and I quickly pulled the Heart of Ice Spider from my inventory and held it out. As I did, the feeling of correctness washed over me. There were no words or anything, nothing but that cold, cloying feeling in my gut receding a touch. But it was enough. I pressed the heart into the spot on Mob's chest. And as I did, the entire world exploded in a flurry of ice and snow as the wind that would have carried me down to the frozen banks of hell itself whistled across my tiny ledge.
So it is death you seek.
The words glowed in the air before me in burning sapphire script, spoken to power by her very will. And as they melted away into bits of blue ash that littered the snow at my feet, Queen Mob stepped forth from the wall. She was inhumanly beautiful, with long flowing white hair and skin of the palest blue moonlight. Her eyes were entire voids of sapphire that seemed a bit too big for her perfect face, almost like an anime character brought to life. A shroud of frozen silk drifted down along her curves, hiding the important bits, while letting me see enough to let me know they were truly magnificent. And then there was that strange, cold emptiness that radiated off her like a living thing. Shadow seemed to cling to her every move as she raised one delicate hand into the air in front of herself and held out her palm expectantly. Then she arched one pale white eyebrow. That's when I felt it beneath my feet, the rumble of the earth, low and angry, like a steadily building wave that would soon grow large enough to destroy the very shores where it was cast. It was coming, and it was uncaring in its destruction because the earth did what it wanted. Which was also when another thought occurred to me. I had gotten two hearts on the way here, one from the spider and one from the golem. The first had quelled the rage of the queen. Would the second quell the earth's indifference? I wasn't quite sure, but I quickly pulled the Heart of Stone Golem from my inventory anyway. The moment it was out, Mob's lips twisted into an amused smirk.
You are smarter than you look.
At first, I wasn't sure I'd heard her because the sound of it just rolled over my senses, setting my hair on end and giving rise to goose flesh across my body.
No wonder Rhapsody has chosen you.
She reached out and plucked the heart from my hand.
And to send you to me is bold beyond reason.
She held the heart up in one hand and stared at it intently.
I could kill you where you stand. You would be cast into the endless pit, and yet the hunger of the earth would not be sated even when watered with your blood. Still.
I'd rather you didn't do that, I said as I met her eyes. I wasn't quite sure what she meant about Rhapsody sending me to her, since this seemed like it had been optional, but then again, the one thing I'd always liked about Terra Forma was how it always felt like you were the most important person in it and that your choices had meaning. Maybe this world operated the same way. After all, it had seemed to do so thus far.
Your opinion has been noted.
Her eyes flicked back to me, equal measures of indifference and amusement in them.
So what would you have me do?
At her words, the ground beneath my feet rumbled angrily, and the frozen wind swept across the plateau. Whatever you would like, I said with a nod before I bowed my head to her. You are the keeper of the darkness and your will is absolute. I will trust your judgment.
You would ask me to choose your fate, O servant of Rhapsody?
She seemed pleased by the idea, though.
Very well.
She pressed her lips to the heart of the stone golem, leaving behind the frosty imprint of her kiss on its surface. Then, as frost started to spread across it, she slammed the heart of the stone golem into my forehead. Pain unlike any I had ever felt exploded through my body. And as I collapsed backward in a broken cloud of blood and hit the ground, the last thing I saw as I faded into darkness was Mob's smiling face.
Until we meet again, Garrett.
Her grin turned predatory.
It won't be as long as you think.